Praise the Lord. We're continuing in grace, talking about grace, and this today we're going to narrow it down to just one small aspect of grace, but it's a big one. It's the grace of giving, or we're titling the grace of generosity. This is a grace we often need to be reminded of, to always never think inside, but also think outside. I think this is why God wants us to understand this, because he put two chapters in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, both talking about giving and generosity, so that we can have some great content and context for generosity. There's other chapters and other things, but these are what we're going to do. We're going to dive into 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today, and kind of go by the grace of God. Amen. So Hebrews 4:16, you can turn to the next slide. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Everybody say grace. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a throne of grace, but we get to find grace when we go to that throne. Grace to do what? Help us. Now I want you to think about helping me become more generous. Is there help from God to help me become more generous? You know, as we hear the bad news, and we know the bad news out there. I don't know, need to mention it more, but I'll just say this. You know, when people hear government shut down, when they hear that inflation is going up, when they hear that prices are skyrocketing, oh, they taking my pay raise didn't even meet the cost of living. Sometimes when people hear that, they hear fear instead of faith, and they think I got to tighten up. Nobody said amen, but praise God's great. And so we have to realize that there's grace to help us stay and become more generous. Praise the Lord. So there's grace to everybody say, thank you, Lord, that there's grace to help. We start saying, well, everything gets so more expensive. Everything costs a lot more. When you're having babies are expensive, right? Diapers, milk, eggs. They start eating, right? They start growing through shoes and clothes. And sometimes we start thinking, well, we better tighten up because we got to save money for this stuff. All right, Hebrews 13:9 says, don't be carried away about various and strange doctrines, for it is good. Everybody say, it is good. That their heart be established by what? Grace. Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Amen. So we said it before, grace is one of the most important subjects in the New Testament, and therefore a subject that we must understand correctly. Grace is an essential Bible theme. Grace touches a person, when grace touches a person's heart and life, and the life of an entire church, it always produces transformation. Everybody say transformation. And it has manifold effects. The exact opposite of being established is being carried away by various strange doctrines. This happens when a person loses sight of the unchanging nature of the message of Christ. Does God's word change because the economy changed? Does God's methods change because we are in a mess as a nation? Then why should Christians change? We are to be and become generous. Everybody say generous. The training wheels of generosity always starts with our giving cheerfully of our tithes and offerings. We got to start where the Old Testament law left off. The Old Testament left off with tithes and offerings, but we get to give under grace. We get to excel in the grace of giving, the grace of generosity. That means the training wheels on the bicycle are for us to learn and to grow and develop in this God idea, which is a good idea, God genius idea of God of generosity. God has a genius idea of generosity. His training wheels of tithes and offering are not just to raise money for the church, but to raise his children in generosity. Everybody say, that's me. Oh, I feel like I gotta preach today. We gotta get that tightness out of here. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. John 1:14 through 1, verse 14 through 18, it says, and the word became flesh and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Everybody say, Jesus was full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And verse 16, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is begotten of the Father, has declared him. So look at verse 16 again. And of his fullness we've all received. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. We've all received. So what did you receive of Christ? Part of Christ? No, all of Christ. And all his fullness, you receive the fullness of the potential of his faith. You receive the fullness of the potential of his wisdom. What Christ gave us was all of him. So when it comes to money, some people think God cut us short. We didn't receive the fullness of his generosity. Because when they ran out of food in the wilderness or in the mountainside, who fed them? But who did he use? Jesus. He fed them with two fish and five loaves of bread, right? Did the Bible say Jesus healed some of them? No, it says, and when he healed the multitude, he healed them all. So some people, I'm a child of God. I've received Jesus' fullness of grace. His fullness received and grace for grace. Those are different grace. Healings are grace. But you know, generosity and prosperity are graces as well. So come on, let's close your eyes and say, Lord, I thank you. Or you just ask the Lord to forgive you if you've been receiving only part of his generosity. Because see, what the devil wants to make all of us do, become selfish and stingy and tightwadish. We get to talk about, I don't have enough money. I don't have money. And the devil's talking to you. Why? You're too close to him. You're too close in prosperity when the devil's telling you and talking you out of giving. Talking you out of generosity. You know you're not going to have enough for that. You know you're not going to have enough for your own if you give that away. He wants you to not receive that grace of generosity. Thank you, Brother Fred. Only amen I got. Praise the Lord. I guess he doesn't talk to anybody else. He tries to talk to you. But when you stay close to him and not in the grace, you listen to him. And you become a tipper and not a tither. Hallelujah. Is this the right church? Am I in the right church today? Okay. First, we discovered what? That we learned last week that Jesus, our Lord, was covered over with what? Grace and truth. We see from the scripture here that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus' fullness we all have received. You didn't receive a partial Jesus. He even said, me and my Father coming to live in you through the person of the Holy Spirit, so he shall be in you forever. He's not a part-timer. He's a full-timer. Hallelujah. Come on, thank the Lord. Say, I received all of Jesus, all of Jesus. So I could be generous. I could be an extension of his healing ministry. I can be an extension of Jesus' prayer ministry. Praise God, because he's still interceding for us. Amen? Thirdly, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So the law is like down here, but Jesus said we're going to step it up to here. And you get these people arguing, saying you don't have to tithe today because tithing was under the law. That's hogwash. Jesus took it to a higher level. So grace, God's amazing grace and all-encompassing grace is available and accessible today and every day. So no matter what the economy is doing, it's going up, the stock market is crashing or going down, inflation is rising, it looks like the property taxes are going way up. Everybody say grace. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at next slide, guys. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to start reading. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God. Everybody say the grace of God. Bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Now, what we want is the grace of God bestowed upon Triumph and Word Christian Center. What we want is the grace of God bestowed upon Triumph and Word Christian Center. Somebody say amen. That in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality, riches of their generosity. In other words, they were deeply poor and they were had much affliction, great trial of affliction. That means they're going through hard times, just like many of us today. They abounded to the riches of their liberality or generosity, for I bear witness, not according to their ability, because they're trying to do it out of the flesh. Yes, beyond their ability, and they were freely willing, imploring us that with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints, and not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God, and we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. So this is a different segment or component of it. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Or see to it that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? Whose grace? Jesus's. That though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That means to have a full supply or to have abundant provision. And this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and you were desiring to do a year ago, but you also must complete the doing of it, that there be that as there was a readiness or desire it, so there also must be a completion out of what you have. For if there is a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's keep reading down to 15. For do I not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, and their abundance may also supply your lack, that there may be equality. As is written, he who gathers in much hath nothing left over, and he who gathers in little has no lack. Now, this is when we're walking out full generosity, when there's no lack in the church. There's no lack in the projects or the assignments God gives us. Because whether you have a little or you had a lot, it's equal in God's eyes when everybody does their part in generosity. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So here, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, you see it up there on the screen, introduces the how beautiful it is to give under grace instead of under law. Amen. The grace on the Macedonians to give despite their greatest trial of affliction resulted in the manifestation of grace. The grace of God allowed them and enabled them to give liberally or generously and freely beyond what Paul expected. Their generous giving came back to them as God gave them all sufficiency in all things. Now, what does all sufficiency mean? All that's needed. Sometimes the way we get out of poverty and lack is by giving our way out. Hallelujah. And I know I hear the argument, Pastor, I ain't got the money. Well, what do you have? And I always say there's a heart measure and there's a pocket measure. What's in your heart? Because he said we first start with a willingness and a readiness in here. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a benefit to my church. I don't want to be a burden. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit will give you creative ideas. Go sell this. Go do that. Or go this. Or give half of this. See, it first starts with your heart, then it moves to your hand where you give freely, willingly. No strings attached. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now, Kenneth E. Hagin, one time when he was back in pastoring during those times, he said a lady who did, he had a lady in his church who did scrub floors and clean floors. She had a daughter who was a little bit slow mentally and had some challenges, but she also had a husband who was trying to play crazy and not go to the army when he was drafted, so he would hide in the back room and not work. But this woman was trying to keep her family going, and she scrubbed floors 5 days a week for $10 a week. And she'd walk in there into the church. And she'd walk into church and do this to Brother Hagin. You can have that. But and she say that he said it was the hardest thing for him to do. Taking her dollar as her tithe. And he'd be in tears because he said the husband won't even get out and work. And she's dealing with a, you know, mentally defective daughter eventually and scrubbing floors down on her knees. I mean, her joints and everything being pain. Coming in, she'd be staggering in church and she'd have her dollar. But she was determined that we coming out of this stuff. The daughter ended up getting healed of some physical and mental defects. She ended up marrying a guy who was a land developer and real estate guy. and she owned a large portion of land. He ended up dying he had a transportation company, he had a real estate company that developed, and she became one of the wealthiest women in the county. And he looked at her, he said, that woman would not have been here if you not took in her $1 tithe. Because he wanted to take that dollar and give it back to that lady. You need it more than what I do. And some people look at that and, you know, doesn't the pastor know I need it more than the church needs it? Well, what do I know? You need the grace more than you need to keep your grip on the money. Are you listening to me? You need the grace of God to be activated, because what did we say a couple weeks ago? Grace is your superpower. You must activate it. When he said, we read it for the offering teaching, God is able to make what? All grace. Grace is bigger than resources and money, because grace will get all that stuff for you and more with blessings. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So when you get all sufficient in all things, he knew this woman's needs going to be met. So that daughter of hers got healed. She got clicked over in her mind. She got real good at math, and she can add up money. And she ran that transportation company from her ex-husband who had died in an accident. She ran it by herself as the CEO, doing all the books. She ran the real estate business. She ran the land development business. She was somewhat mentally retarded in church. But see, the tithe blessing, the giving grace, goes beyond the natural. Somebody say hallelujah. So in other words, the Macedonian church, listen, gave finances and financial resources even when things were tough and tight economically. I asked the Lord, why do you want us to go on these extra missions projects? These extra missions, don't you know that people's giving has dropped down? Some people have pulled out of tithing altogether. And that's not good. And that's not God, right? But he said, people need to learn to tap into the grace. He wants to bless us. He's not wanting to take our money from us. Well, I'm not getting much help this morning. God's not trying to take our money from us. He's trying to get all sufficiency in all things to us. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So they get and God gave them more than enough of everything they needed. They gave their way out of poverty and lack. How many like to give your way out? And it first starts in your heart. You got to want to give yourself to God. God, use me as an instrument of generosity. Don't let a day pass where you say, don't pray and say, Lord, make me a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all know how we do it on Sunday morning and sometimes Wednesday night. We bring food. We're being a blessing. And some people get so tightened up they're not even grateful for it. Why? Because we said it last week. When you have a poor self-image of yourself, you have a low self-image of yourself, the way you see yourself interprets everything you hear and everything you see around you. Amen. The coffee, water, lemonade, stuff, that's not cheap, free. I don't go in the store and say, Shandai, Rotai, untie my bow tie. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. So we're blessed to be a blessing. But some people filter and interpret things Like, don't you know I'm limited? I'm fixed income? No, I don't know that. You shouldn't know that either, because you belong to Christ, so you're not unlimited. Just because you are a Christian, you're unlimited, because you've received his what? Fullness. Grace for grace. You didn't receive Christ's emptiness. You received his fullness. Whew, that we could just camp right there and just say we had a good time in church. Received his fullness. Have you received his fullness?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, the God idea of tithing and giving offerings to support the work of the ministry seems legalistic. And people will tell you outside the church, why they always talking about tithing? Why are they talking about offering? Why are they trying to take your money? Who's trying to take your money? Anybody putting a gun to your head? Amen. Until a person understands it as a grace, a gift that God grants him children so he may account to good. So you'll think it's legalistic and you'll say, I don't have it. Oh, I can't afford it. And you'll get into fear and frustration because you don't have it. Instead of operating in the grace. Amen. I mean, you coming up on Friday, Saturday, you talk to the Lord. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Lord, I'm going to church Sunday. I need to have my clothes to wear, but also a tithe or offering to bring. Well, praise the Lord. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. Tithing is life, not law. Amen. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit just brought this up to me. If you're not talking to the Lord about your giving, the devil's going to talk to you about holding your money back. You better be getting out ahead of the devil, because he's going to talk you out of giving. Praise the Lord. So what is grace giving? Let's go. Let's go. We got several things we're going to cover in grace giving. Grace giving is sacrificial. Everybody say sacrificial. People don't like that word. Everybody say sacrificial. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. That means he's talking about the grace of God, what I just read in the New King James. That's the grace of God. Everybody said, thank God for the grace of God. They were being tested by many troubles. They were very poor. That sound familiar? But they also were filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich what? Generosity. Everybody say generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will. So God honors our sacrifice just as much as our seed. The Philippian church came up to God as a sweet smelling aroma and sacrifice acceptable. When they took care of Paul in prison and he was in need, that offering that they sent to him through Epaphroditus came up to God as a sweet smelling aroma when Paul received it, and a acceptable sacrifice. Many people don't know he had to walk 23.4 miles to get to Paul from where he was in Philippi, to get to him in prison, surviving hazards and tragedies and things of that nature to get him his offering. Sometimes people don't know what people go through to get that seed, that sacrifice. And when that woman held out that dollar to Brother Hagin, said, here's my tithe, that woman had to sacrifice 40, 50 hours a week on her knees, scrubbing floors, saying that my family's not going to stay broke and poor. I'm not going to have a deadbeat husband. I'm not going to have a dysfunctional, disabled child in my house. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, Khalil. Okay. All right, grace giving is spontaneous. For we can testify that we gave not only what we could afford, but far more. And when they did it of their own free will. So you're hearing through the image you see of yourself when you hear me say these things and feel, why are you talking about that? Or you get, or you get upset or offended. No. Spontaneous means we give up our own free will. Every one of us is invited to be a grace giver, to excel in the grace of generosity. He's writing this to the whole church, sister. Excel in your giving. See to it. What do you say in verse 7? See to it that you excel in this grace also. Grace given is selfless. Look at verse 4 and 5. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers of Jerusalem. They heard about it. They said, we want to get involved. I know you're going through, you're very poor and you're being tested by many troubles, but they still said, we want to do it. We don't care what's going on in our lives. We want to be a blessing. They even did more than we hoped. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that good? Just as God wanted them to do. Selflessness should undergird the entire Christian life. It should certainly be a guiding principle for giving of the material and monetary resources God's entrusted to his people. The best giving is selfless giving. Can I have an amen? Can I have a better amen than that? All right, next slide. Grace giving is systematic. Look at verse 6 and 7. So we urge Titus, who encouraged you, your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. What do we do in October, November, December? Excelling in the ministry of giving, sister. And you first give yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, you're my source and supply. You'll give seed to the sower, so I want to sow, so I'm expecting you to give me some seed. Over and above my tithes, my regular tithes and offerings. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said they did it, finished the ministry giving. You excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. I want you to excel in this gracious act of giving. A system of giving begins with a commitment. Now, Pastor Hagin taught us this. Never let an offering pass you by. So the devil starts talking, you say, shut up, Mr. Devil. I'm committed to not let an offering pass me by. Amen. I'm giving y'all some good bullets and ammunition here. Okay. A commitment to give, to be generous, a commitment to participate and partner in returning your tithes, giving willingly and freely of your offerings, and giving to support those in need, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the helpless, with our almsgiving. How do I know I'm fully engaged in giving? I'm a tither, I'm an offering giver, and I support through alms, missions through alms. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. We are to be inspired and intentional in our generosity and giving. Praise the Lord. Grace giving is spiritual. Everybody say spiritual. All right. So we said first it's sacrificial. Everybody say sacrificial. Spontaneous, selfless, systematic. And here we see grace giving is spiritual. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. So Paul knew what? That the Corinthians valued the virtues of faith, speech, knowledge, godly living, and love for the apostles, grace giving should join the list. Grace giving should join the list. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Grace giving is sincere. Everybody say sincere. Verse 8 and 9, look at this. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is. God says, I want projects going on in this church, even though it's small, because I'm testing where your love is. Do we love ourselves more than we love God and the things of God? By comparing it with the eagerness of other churches. You know, the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you what? Rich. This is reflected in the believer's sincere love for God and desire to advance the ministry of his church. Everybody say, that's me. So this is proof of your love and your loyalty for God and for his gospel work in the local church. What? Your giving record. Your giving statement is the proof of your love for God and your love for the gospel work at this church. You can tell me all you want. This is how much money I got in my savings. This is how much money I made last year. This is how much money is in my savings account. I want to look at your giving statement. Because the Bible, Jesus said it this way, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So your money tells the truth about your heart condition, what your heart values, what your heart loves. Amen. If it loves you, it's spending hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars on your clothes and on yourself and on your stuff. But if you love God, you're going to see a good tithing record, a good offering record, a good almsgiving record. Praise God. I got two amens. Thank you, brothers. None of the ladies gave me anything. All right. So let's keep going. Grace giving is steadfast. Next slide. We're almost done. We got these two, and we're done. Everybody get something out of this? Grace giving is steadfast. Look at verse 10 and 11. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year you were first. You were first, the first who wanted to give, and you were first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. We urge you not only to start well, but to finish with the same enthusiasm and excellence. We start the year well. Let's keep it rolling and keep it going in the right direction. Amen. There should be no record in heaven on earth that shows your giving is down or has plateaued. God wants all of us to have more so that we can what? Give more. Not just so we can get more, but we can also give more. God wants you to have more, but he also wants you to give more. So when your giving stays the same, it's not plateaued. You've actually declined. Because if you're getting more coming in and your giving is the same or down from your giving, then you've got plateaued. That's a heart situation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Christian who understands the principle that are clearly taught in the New Testament will understand stewardship as a matter of wholehearted generosity and responsibility before God. Grace giving shares with others. Now look at this one, verse 12 through 15. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. That means you want to do it. God doesn't want you reluctant. When you hit that machine over there, don't be reluctant. Be rejoicing. Don't be looking and say, how much can I afford? Look in your heart first and say, Lord, what would you have me to give? What would you have me to give? Amen. He says, and give according to what you have and not what you don't have. Of course, that makes sense, right? Of course, I don't mean you should give. Your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourself. I only mean that there should be some equality. All of us should sacrifice equally. Spontaneous giving equally. Steadfast equally. Share with others equally. Right now you have plenty and can help those in need. Later you may have plenty. They will have plenty and share with you when you need it. In this way things will be equal. Come on, say praise the Lord. As the scripture says, those who gathered a lot and nothing left over, and those who gathered in only a little and had enough. Okay, final slide. So grace giving shares with others. Y'all getting something out of that? Next slide. Last slide. Next one. Next one. Is it not turning? Okay, there it is. Okay. All right, there we go. So here's the foundation of grace giving and receiving in biblical stewardship. Now, in the Old Testament, as you see, people were told to give specifically. It was law. It was legalistic. But here, we're told to give sacrificially under the New Testament. Giving in the Old Testament was given. Giving was by law. Here, it's out of love. He tells us that. We just read it. In the Old Testament, it had obligation as its center. In the New Testament, we ask others as a sinner. So you give, it's selfless. You're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about who? Being a blessing and being a benefit to other people. Amen. Old Testament is by percentage. Giving here in the New Testament is by proportion. Giving in the Old Testament was by responsibility. Giving in the New Testament should be out of love and a response. There's a need. Let me step up and step out in my giving. Praise the Lord. So the word sacrifice, as we get it up here, it gets its ultimate meaning ultimately from the Latin word sacra, which means sacred, and fecio, which means to make. So the word literally means to make sacred or to make holy. In other words, to devote something to God. So God is testing our heart and our love and our sacrifice, that we will devote things to God even while we're in this stage and phase of the church. And he wants to do what? Bestow more grace. Just bestow more grace on us. So God's call is a call to sincerity in our giving and generosity. The one who gives out of genuine love for God, his gospel work in the local church, will be blessed. Can somebody say praise the Lord? We are to see to it that we excel in the grace of giving or generosity, responding sincerely to the needs of the church and fellow Christians in need. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.